sounds good. Forgive, I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and happy Monday to you. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. It is Monday, September 24th, 2007, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, I've got a guest up first hour today. I had a couple callers, or actually a couple of emails and a caller, I believe, that called in last week, talking about Randy Kelton, and I think that our show was alluding to the court system and the corruption in there. Or at least that subject matter came up. So I thought I'd get a hold of Randy and get him up today to talk about it and see if we can, have him put forth some solutions to it. At any rate, before I get into that, of course, my announcements. If you haven't already, folks, I want to remind you, if you have an IRA, if you have a 401k and you're retired, if you have an annuity, cash value in your life insurance, you want to refinance your house or whatever, it is time to buy gold. Call Robbie Noel at 800-691-7898. That again, that is 800-691-7898. Gold is starting to go ballistic. It's going to go orbital here shortly. So all of you who have not already done so, please give Robbie a call. Let him know that I told you to call him. My website, www.theamericanawakening.org. I've got a couple of new articles posted up there, actually a couple of video clips I wanted you to pay attention to. One of them is the interview, part of the interview with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, which I'm going to cover in the second hour a little bit, unless we get swamped with callers on Randy Kelton. Also, there is a video clip up there called Disillusionaries, and I'm going to get into that a little bit also in the second hour. But I would invite you to go in and have a look at that, because that's part of what the subject content of my show is going to be on today. Randy Kelton, he has a website. It's www.jurisimprudence.com, and that's J-U-R-I-S. Let's see, J-U-R-I-S-I-M. PRUDENCE.com. And I've got that, if you go into my website at www.theamericanawakening.org, you can just schedule, or you can just click on, guests, and, right under Randy Kelton's name, I have, his website posted there, so you can go in there and take a look. Randy Kelton, from what I understand, I had the privilege of meeting this fellow for a very brief moment at the network in Round Rock while I was there. Didn't have much of a chance to talk to the gentleman. Wasn't real sure what he was all about. And I didn't find out until I went in and looked him up. And, of course, the caller called in. I had a couple of emails about him. So I guess we're going to find out what he's all about. But evidently, he may just have some solution for us as far as this court system situation goes. And I look forward to having him up today. Now, there was a little bit of confusion over the weekend in trying to get a hold of him. I understand that he will be up right after the break. If for some reason he is not, then I will just go ahead and go on with the news, and I will reschedule him. But I'm pretty sure my board operator has told me that she has contacted him and that he is supposed to be Skyping in shortly, right after the break. So I look forward to that. And then in the second hour, I'm going to cover, you know, Ahmadinejad is over here for a visit, going to the UN. And I find it very interesting the media treatment that this man gets. Call me an idiot, call me stupid, I don't know. But I get the sense that this man is a genuine man, and he's telling the truth. But we'll talk about that later. We'll be back after the break with my guest Randy Kelton, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be right back. Stick with us. We've got a great show. Thank you.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Randy Kelton may just have some solutions for us on this court situation. As you guys know, in the past, I've had a number of guests up that have had their problems with the court system. I had William Wagner on the show, who follows these guys around all over the country with these custody battles, and it doesn't just extend to that. We're going all the way through the civil and the criminal. And I ran across Randy, I believe, just for a brief moment at RBN Network, the old network. Just a brief moment, I met him, but I didn't have a chance to talk to him too much because he was with two guys, and the other guy was loading up my ear with something. It was on Codex Alimentarius, I believe. But at any rate, I believe I've got Andy, or Andy. Yeah, I've got Andy. No, I've got Randy on the line now. Randy, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
How are you today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good.
What's that?
Let me know if my mic is right. I can adjust it.
Actually, you're barely audible. Can you turn it up a little bit?
Okay, how's that?
That's a little bit better. Okay. Do you recall the short, brief meeting that you had with me back at RBN Studios, Randy?
Yes, I vaguely remember running into you there.
It was very short-lived. You were with two other gentlemen, and the other fellow was kind of giving me a he was boning me up on Codex Alimentarius, if I recall correctly.
Doug Bell has a habit of that.
Yeah. Yes. And anyway, yes, if you could do me a favor, Randy, and turn up your mic just a little bit more. Is that? Can you do that?
I have it maxed out.
You have it maxed out. Okay. All right. Well, very good. Listen, I've had a number of individuals on my show in the past, Randy, that have talked about their nightmares and horrors in the court system. And that subject came up, I believe it was last week on my show, and I had a couple of emails and also a caller that called in and suggested that I have you up on my show. Evidently, he's a listener of yours, because I know you have your own radio show. And he said that you may just have some solutions for us regarding this. And if you would, Randy, just briefly, could you tell my listening audience how you got involved in this with the court systems and what exactly do you do?
Well, about 25 years ago, I got a ticket and spent the night in jail for driving with a headlight out. That didn't seem right. So I got out the Code of Criminal Procedure and the Penal Code, and I read them. And then I looked at what was actually being done, and it looked as though I had stepped through the looking glass. I thought, there must certainly be something I'm missing, because what they're doing doesn't anywhere approach what the law says they're supposed to be doing. So I went to work on it. That was 25 years ago. I was looking for what I had missed. Turns out I hadn't missed a thing. The law says what it says. Our public officials simply don't follow it. And once I discovered what the problem was, it didn't contain the fix. I had to look around, try to figure out how to fix it. And it took a long time. That's why I haven't been around a long time. I've been working on this, but I haven't presented it to other people because I didn't want them to be getting into the kinds of things I was getting into. Three ribs stove in, broken elbow, a couple broken
bones. Oh, my.
Considerable amount of time in jail cells. And that sort of thing went on for a long time until I came across grand juries. Turns out they all have an incredible weakness. And what I do goes to a different paradigm. Instead of defending ourselves against what public officials are doing, we need to start being the sovereigns we're supposed to be. Now when I go into a court of any kind, I have two hats. I go in with my litigant's hat on. But when one of my public officials steps across one of my legal lines, I take off that litigant's hat, I put on my sovereign's hat, and we fight. First thing I'm going to do is file criminal charges with the district attorney against him. And here in Texas, the district attorney is commanded by statute to give that complaint to the grand jury, and they never do. So immediately, I file criminal charges against the district attorney directly with the grand jury. It gets real dicey, real fast. When you start policing your police and policing your judges, you will find that that is their weak underbelly. The last thing they want you to do is file criminal charges against them. You can sue them all day. They don't care. And that's what they keep telling you. If you don't like it, sue. Just 3 weeks ago, I was in court on a traffic ticket. And three times I demanded that the bailiff pull that judge down off that bench and arrest him. It was a hoot. And when I left the courtroom, I went straight to the district attorney and filed criminal charges against him. You better know that gets everybody's attention. They like to think, well, grand jury's not going to indict me for that. But to them, it's sort of like playing Russian roulette. What if there's a grand jury member on there who happens not to like me? My career will be over immediately. And when you start paying attention to the law the way it's written and how it directs public officials and filing complaints against them when they violate it, everything changes. That's essentially all that I do. I don't have all of these special issues. I have concerns about different things that are going on, but I only do one thing. I demand that all my public officials follow every law that addresses them. If they don't, my phone comes out real fast and dialed 911's on a hotkey. And I'll be asking police to come out there and arrest them in a heartbeat. And it's great fun.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Randy, a number of questions come to mind. First of all, I mean, obviously this has probably been an ongoing research for you. I mean, you said you got into this about 25 years ago. You have been studying this for the last 25 years, or did it take you 6 months or a year to bone up on it? Because I know the laws are always changing. So, you know, for the average guy, you know, that maybe would get stuck in court, you know, well, it used to be maybe once in a lifetime. Now it might be a dozen times in a lifetime, if not more. You know, how long does it take the average guy to bone up and get up to speed on what to look for?
It doesn't take long at all. What took me so long was to get outside the programming that I lived with all my life. Always I thought about the law from a defensive posture. All I had to do was step away from it and come back with a different posture. Right now, I think of my public officials the way I think of my grandchildren. I love them dearly. But if my grandson runs out in the street, I'm fixing to tan his hide. And it's not because I don't care about him and not because I object to him. It's because this is my job. It's my duty. When my police, I send my policemen out there to police me, keep me from doing stupid stuff to get me put in jail. The least I can do is return the favor. And once you think that way, once you think in terms of being the sovereign that we all really are, it doesn't matter who violates the law. There's a statute everybody should know, and this is really the only one you need to keep in your mind. And it's a reflection of 18 U.S. Code 242. It comes from the Ku Klux Klan Act. After the Reformation, or after the Civil War, during the Reformation, they left all the political structure in the South intact. Mayors, constables, judges, and gave them new directives. And the mayors, constables, and judges told those Yankee carpetbackers to go scratch, they do what they want to. So they passed the Ku Klux Klan Act that had two enactments. One of them made it a suable. It said that if a public official acting on the color of his authority denies a citizen in the full and free access to or enjoyment of any right, he's subject to that citizen in civil tort. Everybody knows that is 42 U.S. Code 1983. The first part of it has been codified into 18 U.S. Code 242. It says that if a public official acting on the color meaning pretense of his authority, denies a citizen full and free access to or enjoyment of any right, that's a criminal act, and it's a crime in every state. Every state has a statute for official oppression or official abuse. Everyone. So if a public official violates a law, any law relating to his office, that's a crime. And I want him arrested. I read these court cases that says we examine the court record and find that the judge abused his discretion, we reverse and remand. And I said, wait a minute. What about arresting the judge? He abuses his discretion, denies a citizen in one of his rights, he should be in jail. They say, well, you can't sue a judge. Well, who cares? You hear all this nonsense about immunity? When it comes to criminal prosecution, zero immunity. Nobody has. Right now I'm putting together a seminar to go after IRS agents in the state court. No immunity, and they can't move it to the federal court. When a policeman stops you, if he violates a law, just take out your cell phone, dial 911, ask the dispatcher to get somebody down here to arrest this man. And then you get to see him do that little chicken dance. So the policeman he sends down there don't want to arrest his buddy, but you're the victim. He can't pick on you.
All right, we got to take a break, Randy, we got to take a break. We'll be back in three. Stick with me, okay? We'll cover some more of this when we get back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Be back in three. Stick with us. We got more.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona with my guest first hour, Randy Kelton. And Randy, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned that if you get pulled over by a police officer and he violates any of your constitutional rights or violates the law, you dial 911. So if this guy, if you get pulled over by a police officer, Randy, and the police officer says, well, we'd like to search your car, and you tell him no, and he drags you out and tasers you, which is happening now with regularity, are you saying we have recourse?
Ed, am I too loud?
No, you're fine.
Absolutely, you have recourse. And one thing I suggest to people, don't fight with the policeman out there on the street. Fight where you can win. Out there, you have a policeman who's generally wired up on adrenaline. And they're liable to do stupid things, and you're going to pay for it. So I generally never argue with a policeman. If a policeman does something I don't like, I don't argue with him. If he's out of line, if he's seems like he's about to do something stupid, I just take out my cell phone and dial 911. I don't tell him I'm going to do it. I don't threaten him. I don't tell him what the law is. If he needs an attorney, he can go hire one. I'm not his. I just call 911. Once you've made the call, now you have someone else looking over his shoulder. I only do that to a policeman when I'm trying to keep a situation from getting out of hand. Normally, I like to bushwhack him. If I have a complaint with him out there on the street and he's not doing anything that's going to get me killed, I wait until he gets done, And next day when he comes into work, his chief's going to be asking him, why do I have some citizen going down, jumping up and down in front of the district attorney trying to get him to arrest you? That's a lot more fun. The thing is, anytime you have trouble with, you know, I have people talk to me about police harassing them. I never get harassed. And the reason I don't is I know who the police are afraid of. The district attorney and the judges. So when I go in, I generally go into jurisdictions and start fights with them. Because I'm trying to fix the system, I'm careful about things that I'm involved in. If you're in an issue and they have threat against you, I don't suggest you doing what I do. Get a third party to do that. If you want to do it in that situation. I go in and create, where I have a jurisdiction that's doing something that's improper, I go in and start a fight with them. And by doing that, they have nothing on me. They have no jurisdiction, no control over me whatsoever. I go in and ask to see the morning arraignment hearing, or magistration, whatever they call it. They always tell me, well, you can't see that. We hold that deep in the jail. I tell them, well, hold it somewhere else. I want to watch. And they tell me that they can't. So I tell them, don't tell me that. Go get the judge to tell me that. And I had one recently in Johnson County said, well, why would you want the judge to tell you that? Because when I get somebody arrested, I want it to be the judge, not you. You're just a flunky. I want the policemen to feel like they're minor functionaries. And what I tell them real fast is, you know, I may be filing some criminal charges against you for this, but don't take it personal. I'm not after you at all. And one in Johnson County said, you're not after me? You're going to file criminal charges against me and you're not after me? Nah, I'm not after you. Well, who are you after? I'm after the district judge. And he is terrified of that district judge. He said, well, if you're after the district judge, why are you filing against me? Well, you're convenient. I get to use you. Now well, they're wondering, who is this guy? What
Randy,
the heck is going on?
Randy, let me stop you for a minute. Okay, yeah. When you mentioned to me, you said, well, okay, you know, you don't want to really do this. You know, you want to get a third party to do it. Well, the first thought that comes to my mind is, okay, you get an attorney to do it. An attorney's not going to want to do it.
No.
They'll try to talk you out of it. So are you saying, I mean, my question to you is, I mean, do you do this for the benefit of people? Are you available, you know, as a by proxy? Or, I mean, how does this work?
I can show you how to do it, but the individual has to do it, the one that has standing.
Okay, just let me stop you. Your audio just went way down there for a minute.
How's that?
Go ahead, speak up a little bit.
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. It's just blowing my eardrums out.
It is. Okay, let me hold on just a second.
I'm new on this slider. It's
okay, that's okay. Let me see if I can, if it's John or Carrie in there on the board, see if you can raise his audio.
It's not their board, it's my board.
Okay. All right, very good.
I just don't know how to use it.
All right, well, that's fine. Go ahead.
But, now, part of what's difficult about this, it's really incredibly simple, but it's so different that I tend to have to demonstrate the whole paradigm. It's easy to think about yourself going in there as the sovereign, but when you actually try to do it, you have so many triggers that they use against you, so many experiences that you learned in high school and grade school where they get you to do their little dance for them. You know, we put our kids in school and teach them about what a great country you live in, what all these wonderful rights you have. And then at every turn, we demonstrate, well, while you have these rights, don't even think of trying to exercise one of them. The sky's going to fall in on you.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm traveling for 12 years to have all these negative responses. Then you get out here in the free world, in the real world, and we expect them to all of a sudden become empowered citizens. It's different.
All right, let me stop you, Randy. We've got to go to another break. Then we've got a long segment coming up, and I want to expound on that for a moment when we get back. So stick with us. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Randy Kelton. See you in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm speaking with my guest, Randy Kelton. And, Randy, you were on the subject of the constitutional rights. And, you know, and I brought up something I want to address with you. Back in February, I got a ticket for driving in the wrong with the wrong plate on my car. And it used to be years ago that that was just simply a traffic ticket. Now it's a misdemeanor. But what I found interesting, Randy, was when I went into the court, they have – the judge doesn't talk at all before. I mean, the first thing that happens is you see a video, a 15-minute video, the first 7.5 minutes in English, second 7.5 in Spanish, saying the same thing, and it's advising you of all of your so-called constitutional rights. Yet, before you ever get in front of a judge, they already have a plea bargain worked out with you that is offered to you by a paralegal that calls you up before you go in front of the judge. Are you aware of that, at least in Arizona?
It's somewhat different here in Texas, but pretty close. When they do that, I tell them that I don't talk to prosecuting attorneys. That you're a bad guy, you're trying to convict me, and I don't talk to prosecutors. And if the judge is not ready to see me, then I ask the bailiff to arrest the judge. Because the judge has no authority to order you to court, to summon you into court to speak to the prosecuting attorney. The prosecuting attorney wants to talk to me, he can call and make an appointment.
Okay, let me stop. But Randy, let me stop you. It wasn't a prosecuting attorney. It was a paralegal that was assigned out of the prosecutor's office.
Yeah, so he's essentially representing the prosecutor.
Okay.
So the judge summons you down there to talk to the prosecutor. I charge him with abuse of process and ask the bailiff to arrest the judge. When you ask a bailiff to arrest the judge, every time I've ever done that, the judge gets real quiet because he knows he's got problems coming. They take this real serious. Nobody does it. We're all afraid of that judge. And that's the hardest hurdle to get over. We think they have all this power. And they want us to think they have all this power. But when they violate one of my laws, one of your laws, they lose that power. Unless you let them go get by with it. I went to a traffic court and asked to see the docket, the appearance docket. And the judge asked me for a written request. Well, I knew it. There's a little known law in Texas that says magistrate judges and municipal court judges can't ask for a written request. They have to produce this information immediately. Well, none of the judges know about that. I asked the bailiff to arrest the judge anyway. Minor nitpicking. And these are the kinds of complaints I really like. The smaller and more seemingly unimportant it is, the more difficult it is for the judge and the prosecutor when I file it. Because they're saying, this is nothing. This guy's threatening my career over nothing. It devastates.
Well, let me ask you, Randy, when you approach a bailiff and you say, arrest the judge, normally what is the bailiff's response?
He says, I can't arrest the judge. I said, sure you can. Just go over there and put the cuffs on him and drag his hiney off the jail just like you would me. And he'll say, oh, no, I can't arrest the judge. I said, look, you're a certified police officer, aren't you? He says, yes, I am. You're the bailiff of the court, and it's your duty to keep the peace in the court. Says, yes, it is. Well, that judge just breached the peace by violating the law. Do your job. Arrest him. And he'll say, no, he can't arrest the judge. I said, well, life is filled with little decisions. We all get to make some. Are you going to do your job and keep me from filing criminal charges against you? Or are you going to follow policy so you keep collecting your check and risk going to jail? It's your call. I've yet to have a bailiff arrest a judge. But then I go file criminal charges against the bailiff. And the bailiff runs to the judge for help. And the judge has to tell him, nothing I can do. You're on your own. And I have told bailiffs that when they don't interrupt me too much, I tell them, look, you know, I can't sue this judge. These judges have ruled that you can't sue a judge when a judge makes a ruling at his leisure in possession of all the facts. You, on the other hand, acting at the heat of the moment at the point of a gun, I can sue you. So do whatever you want to. I don't care. And I have yet to have a judge say a word. And as soon as the bailiff refuses to arrest the judge, I demand that the judge stand down from the bench. You are disqualified. You can exercise one duty, and that's grant a continuance so I have time to prepare a motion to disqualify and criminal charges against you. You haven't lived till you've done that.
What does the judge? How does the judge respond to this, Randy?
They generally say nothing. Because the judge, in what you're doing here, they recognize a problem they have. I have yet to have a judge give me a hard time about that. They'll just go on like I never said anything. But after the court's over, now I get to really go after the judge. I go to the district attorney, and I'm just jump up and down in righteous indignation and demand that he arrest that judge. And when he refuses, I accuse him of obstruction of justice and prepare criminal charges against him. And this is probably a good place to explain criminal charges. You see, the one thing they don't want you to know is the nature of a criminal charge. When you file one of those, you become sacrosanct, untouchable. you have exactly the same immunity when you file a complaint that any judge or prosecutor has. If you file a criminal complaint and lie like a dog, tell every fact wrong, make up everything, you cannot be sued. Now, if you lie, you can be prosecuted for perjury. But if you tell the truth, you're absolutely immune from any civil action. If you tell the truth, you are immune, period. Reason being, when you file a complaint, you do no harm. All you do is notify the court that you have reason to believe that a crime has been committed. Now it's the place of the court to examine into the sufficiency of the allegation and determine if it's sufficient to pursue prosecution. No harm comes until the prosecutor, the judge, finds probable cause. So you've done no harm. You've simply done your legal duty. You've done what you're required to do. So the last thing they're going to try to do is come back at you for filing a complaint. And when you file it against them, it really puts them in a spot. They want to come back after you, but they can't. And just had a guy in Dallas call me. He was talking to a Dallas policeman friend of his and told him what I had been doing. He said, "Oh, man, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't file complaints against policemen. You have no idea how much misery that causes them." And he said he stood there grinning from ear to ear thinking, "Bubba, you should not play poker." Criminal complaints really work. They're simple. They're safe. As long as when you make a statement, you tell all the facts exactly the way they are. Don't exaggerate. Don't equivocate. From those facts, you can come to any conclusion you pick. And you can never be held responsible.
Well,
no one can do anything. You are absolutely sacrosanct.
Randy, let interject here. What, I mean, obviously you've done this numerous times.
Yeah.
And I find this, forgive me, but I find it rather amusing to turn the tables on these people. But ultimately, you know, what sort of outcomes have you seen when you start filing charges against prosecutors and judges and bailiffs and so forth? I mean, what ultimately happens during this ordeal?
I have yet to get a public official prosecuted, and I never want that to happen. Never when I file a complaint do I want the individual prosecuted, unless it's something horrendous. It's like one of my grandkids running out in the road. I just want to sting him a little bit. You know, we could get rid of all the public officials we got, replace them all, we'll be in the same place. I want to put them in a position where they feel like they have to follow law. I went to the Johnson County, Texas, district attorney with a complaint against the judge because the judge wouldn't let me see a morning arraignment hearing. And the prosecutor said, "Do you mind if I ask why you wanted to see that hearing?" He asked if I had any, if any friend of mine was in jail or anything. I said, "No." "You're not from Johnson County, are you?" "No." "Did you know anybody in jail?" "No." "Then why did you want to see that?" "Oh, entertainment. I wanted to see it for entertainment." He looked at me like, "You're not going to tell me, are you?" And I looked back at him like, "No, I'm not." So I filed this crappy, nothing little complaint. And he doesn't want to give it to the district, to the grand jury. So I prepare another set of, well, what I told the prosecutors is I don't care about this judge. "Well, then why are you here?" "I'm after you." "Well, how are you after me?" I said, "Well, I'm going to give you this complaint. You're not going to give it to the grand jury. And when you don't, I'm going to come back with criminal complaints against you, and I'm going to present those to the grand jury myself." And I did just exactly that. I went in and presented them to the grand jury, and he's sitting out there in the hall wondering if that grand jury is going to end his career tomorrow. He had a copy of the 26-page presentment I had for the grand jury, and I made a good argument. "I don't care if this judge did something right, wrong, or what have you. The law specifically commanded that district attorney to do a certain thing, and he didn't do that thing. I want him indicted." Well, actually, I told him, "I don't really want him indicted." And the foreman said, "Well, then why are you here if you don't want him indicted?" I said, "I'm here because he committed a crime. I'm here because I'm here. He's sitting out there in the hall wondering if his career ends tomorrow. I got what I need. Next time I bring him a complaint, he's not going to do this song and dance. But you, on the other hand, you have to decide whether or not you think he committed a crime, and if you did, it's your duty to indict him. Well, they didn't. The next time I went to the district attorney, I had a friend of mine who had had a bobcat confiscated by two police officers who didn't have a warrant. And he filed aggravated robbery against the police officers. And the district attorney sent him straight into the grand jury. That worked. Now we've got a whole county full of police deputies who are waiting to see if these two senior deputies not only lose their pension and their career, but go to prison.
That's powerful, Randy.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't want, the reason we filed aggravated robbery is we didn't want an indictment. We just want to scare the bejesus out of them so that they start doing it right. It really is powerful. I'm telling you, will not believe how powerful it is.
So are you becoming pretty well known in Johnson County?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do they start quaking in their boots when you walk into the room, Randy?
When I came back from the grand jury, from presenting to the grand jury, just before I went down, about 30 minutes before, one of the guards, a sergeant in the bailiffs, said, "Mr. Calton, you mind if I give you some advice?" I said, "Well, sure." He said, "You seem to be a real personable fellow," because I'm always joking with him. "When you come down here poking the bear the way you do, you really have to be careful." I said, "Don't worry, Sarge. I'm always very careful." He called me. About 20 minutes later, I stepped out of the courtroom, and he said, "Mr. Cotton, you need to go down to the grand jury. They're going to call you." I presented the district attorney, came back, and I told him, I said, "Sarge, I want to express appreciation for your concern earlier, but I think you were mistaken." He said, "How's that, Mr. Kelton?" "Well, you warned me about poking the bear." "You don't understand, Sergeant. I am the bear." And he leaned back and laughed, and he said, "Yes, Mr. Kelton, today I suppose you are." And if anything, that's what I want people to understand. You are the bear. You're the baddest motor scooter in the place. Well, all these public officials have all these laws telling them what to do. You don't have any. You can do anything the law does not specifically forbid you to do. And it doesn't forbid anyone from going to the grand jury. Anybody gets in my way, I file criminal charges against them in a heartbeat.
Well, Randy, I'll tell you what. You know, the first thing that one must do in order to put themselves in that position is visualize themselves in that position. And, you know, you said it doesn't take a lot to come to that, but you also interjected that there's a number of triggers. You have to be very careful. You have to know what to watch for because, yes, these people will try to trip you up. And so, you know, the education in this field, obviously, it comes along with a confidence, and that takes time. So when you were talking about third party, what was it that you were alluding to? Are you saying that people can call you up for advice on how to handle certain situations or what?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a website with a lot of documentation on it.
Okay, yeah, I gave that out. Give it out again for the folks.
It's jurisimprudence.com. JURISIMPRUDENCE.com. And this is not one of those make money sites. It's primarily documents that I've filed with courts. And it's got a bunch of frogs on it because I call this the frog farm conspiracy. First frog on the left on the top. Need to look at that. It's a writ of habeas corpus I filed with the Court of Criminal Appeals here in Texas. It demonstrates how every step is presently practiced from arrest to trial is not only wrong, but very specifically against particular law. And not just that it's against law, but why they do it the way they do it, what purpose they're serving, and what crimes they commit. Everyone I've had read it from every state so far says that it pretty well follows what every other state is doing. And while it's written on Texas law, it follows the federal law. Almost all of the citations are federal citations, so they'll be pertinent to most every state. And it will give you all of the criminal complaints you want to file.
Well, let me ask you, Randy. I mean, you had mentioned going in for a traffic ticket. I mean, do you find that because of your knowledge in this area, if you walk into court for a traffic ticket or something minor, that you wind up? I mean, what is the ultimate outcome? I mean, do you still get fined or do they toss it out?
I always get found guilty. Because I am. The last one I went into, we had the jury panel. And I stood before the jury panel and I said, they're going to put on this trial and they're going to get this officer on the stand and he's going to tell you that I was doing 80 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. And he was right. I was. The reason I'm here is not because I was doing 80 to 65. I'm here because these guys are bigger criminals than they accuse me of doing. I'm going to have this court here, and they're going to violate every due process right I got. They do it to me, they do it to you, they do it to your children, they do it to everybody. Well, I'm going to get them to do it to me, and when they do, we're going to have a fight they're not going to believe.
All right, let me stop you right there. We've got to go to a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me with Randy Kelton. See you shortly.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Short segment coming up to the top of the hour. And I want to mention my website, folks, is www.theamericanawakening.org. Click on guests, and you can see Randy Kelton on there as a guest, and his website is right underneath his name. And I'm assuming, Randy, you, and I believe I saw this, you have telephone numbers which people can call and consult with you as well, don't you?
Right, right. And if it's not real extensive, I try to charge nothing for what I do because it keeps the bad guys off me. I have other ways to make my living, and I'll help anyone I can. I'm getting real busy here lately. The thing I try to impart is an understanding that once you step away from what's happening to you and start looking at the process from the perspective, say, of an auditor, that you're auditing these police procedures and seeing how well they follow what the law actually says, then you start looking at things different. I don't care what they do. I don't care what they say about what they do. I care what the law says. And oft times, you know, they'll be doing things that seem to be totally opposite of what the law says. And when you go to them about it, they'll say, oh, we do it for this reason or that reason. Well, I never want to hear what the reasons are. Don't explain it to me. Explain it to the grand jury. It changes everything. And you mentioned about me being pretty well known. In the counties I do this, and you'll find it'll happen to you. You go in there the first time and they treat you like an errant stepchild. First time you call the police on them, you call the police on the police, you wind up standing there demanding that the policeman arrest the other policeman, and the one you've called is doing this little chicken dance trying to find a way out of this. The next time you come in, yes, sir, Mr. Kelton, sir, I never have police harass me. Ever.
That's a powerful place to be, Randy.
It's not hard. What you think of is who's the guy they're most afraid of? And it's always the district attorney, the district judge. I live in a real small town, and I was out during we had a drought here last year, and I was doing some plastic welding with a little propane torch. And we got a new policeman, didn't know who I was. Come up and said, sir, you can't have that flame, that open flame. I sure can. Look, let him do it. No, you don't understand. There's a fire ban. You're not allowed to have an open flame. I said, this little thing, not a big enough in a cigarette lighter. Oh, you can't have this. I said, this is nonsense. Somebody sent you out here to harass me, didn't they? Tell me, that damn district judge sent you out here just because I filed a few criminal charges against him with the attorney general. He sent you out here, didn't he? This cop was smart. Reaches in his pocket, pulls out his cell phone, calls the chief. Well, I live right next to City Hall. The chief come walking out. Randy, what are you doing to my new officer?
Oh, chief, I was just jerking his chain a little.
And this policeman said, oh, God, I saw my whole career pass before my eyes. That's how they're afraid they are of these guys. So all you have to do is invoke their name. This policeman's afraid that if he does anything, and I accuse a prosecutor of doing it, this policeman is in big trouble. That'll keep him off of you.
Great info, Randy. I'll tell you what. I want to thank you so much for coming on. I'll be back in touch with you. I'll have you up again. There's a lot to learn, and I'm going to go in there and take a good look at the website, and I'd implore all the listeners to do the same thing. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. I'll be back, second hour coming up. I want to thank Randy Kelton again for coming on. Stick with me. We've got another hour and some news I have to cover. So I'll see you in two. Be right back. With